Proverbs chapter 9. This morning's message is the third in a new series of messages based on the book of Proverbs. It's entitled Wise Living for Unwise Times. Over the last couple of weeks, I've tried to show you example after example that we have more and more people that seem to be making more and more unwise choices. And the more unwise choices they make, it seems like there's exponential consequences, negative, that church has to face. And our desire is, more than ever, now is a time for wise people, for the church to be wise, to live the wise life. And the good news is Proverbs tells us this is what it's for. In the prologue, you see that the book of Proverbs is for attaining wisdom and for a disciplined life, a prudent life. And so our desire is to learn how to discern the times and seasons in which we live, to discern and be able to size up situations and people so that we can respond in a way that's prudent, respond in a way that's just, and respond in a way that's right. Now, last week we took a look at the starting point of wisdom, and according to Proverbs, the starting point is the fear of the Lord. Not an abject fear, not being afraid of God, not a dread of God, but a reverence for God, an acknowledgement He's the Creator, He's the Lord. He's the judge. He's the gracious Savior. All of these things that Scripture tells us He is, that to fear the Lord means is we honor God as God, that He's the center of our universe rather than we being the center and fitting God in, that God is the center and our life revolves around Him. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's where it starts. It starts by acknowledging who He is and who we are in relationship to God. Today, I want to continue our journey, and I use the word journey purposely because this morning's message is entitled, The Road Less Traveled. So if you'd stand with me, please, we're going to read a few verses of Scripture to get us started. Proverbs chapter 9. And I know it's really bright out, so it's hard to see this, so you might have to just use what hardcover, you know, Bibles, just say. Or your little machines here, your... Here we go. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways, and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Then jump down to verse 13. The woman folly is loud. She's undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. Lord, thank you for your word as it's been read, and now we pray that you would open it to us to understand, that you would illuminate the text through the same Holy Spirit that inspired the word to be written. Grant us grace to understand and empowerment by your Spirit to obey. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Some of you probably already picked up on the fact when I called this sermon The Road Less Traveled. Josh and I were chatting before the service. He said, hey, wait a minute, does that come from Frost's poem? And it does. So probably some of you are familiar with that, Robert Frost, American poet. The poem was published almost 100 years ago, 1916. And it goes like this. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I should be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, And that has made all the difference. How many have heard that poem before? Maybe you received it on a plaque. You got it in your house. Maybe you got it in a Hallmark greeting card when you graduated from high school or college. The idea, the traditional interpretation is don't go along with the crowd. Don't just go along the way everyone does. Choose your own path and it'll make all the difference in the world. What's ironic is that interpretation is not accurate. Now, how do I know that? Because I'm that good at poetry? No. Because the author, Robert Frost, said that wasn't the interpretation. He was interviewed when he gave the poem, and he called it one of the trickiest of his poems because he knew that people were going to misinterpret the poem. They asked, did you write this about yourself? He said, nope. He said, I wrote it based on my Welsh friend, Edward Thomas. In Frost's words, Thomas was, quote, a person who, whichever road he went, would be sorry he didn't go the other. The poem is not titled The Road Less Traveled. The poem is called The Road Not Taken. And when you read the poem in that light, it makes sense. See, we get the sense, okay, there was this one road that wasn't really traveled and he took it. Listen again carefully. Two roads, diverged in a yellow wood. Sorry I couldn't travel both. And he goes, I looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. And then I took the other as just as fair. Both paths were okay. But then it says, having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear. Okay, so that's the less traveled one, right? Except he goes on to say, though, as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. What Frost is saying is his buddy, whenever he took one path, would say, oh, I wish I'd taken the other. Or if he took the other, I wish I'd taken. He wasn't sure which way, and he was constantly living in regret. And so this poem is written to talk about, yes, there's choices that we're going to have to make, and they're equally good choices that you can make. He said, both that morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trodden back black. I could take either one. Either path would be okay for me. I kept the first for another day, but really I know I'm probably not going to get back there. And so at the end of my life, I'm going to look back, and I'm going to rewrite the narrative and convince myself I took the right path. But I shall be telling this with a sigh. So it describes this where either path would have worked and the guy couldn't figure out which one he should have taken. When we look at Proverbs and the passage that I just read, there is no question that one path is better than the other. That there is the path of wisdom or there's the path of folly. And it does make all the difference which path you take. Now the idea of two paths or two roads is a common one in Scripture. For example, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, when Moses is about ready to die and the people of Israel about ready to cross over to the promised land, he says to the people, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Two roads diverging in the woods. Life, death, blessing, cursing. Joshua, at the end of his life, just before he passed, he said to the people of Israel, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Two choices. The true God or the false gods. But as for me, Joshua said, I've chosen the Lord. Another example is over in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 18, where Elijah is at Mount Carmel. I had the opportunity when I traveled to Israel in 82 to actually visit this area. And it's pretty powerful because you can overlook and see the Mediterranean Sea. And so here's this battle going on between the prophets of Baal and Elijah. And Elijah says to the people, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. Two roads, two paths, diverging in the woods. Which one are you going to take? Even Jesus himself did the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Two paths, two roads, two gates. Two roads diverged in a woods. So today we have a choice as we stand at this threshold of these two roads. Do we choose the path that leads to wisdom or the path that leads to folly? That's what our text is challenging us with this morning. But what makes the way Proverbs does it unique is that it doesn't just say, here's a path, choose. What he does, what Solomon does is he personifies these abstract principles of wisdom and folly. Personifies, he ascribes personal characteristics to them. He turns them into women. So there's Lady Wisdom and there's Lady Folly. Listen again to the text. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has set out her maids, and she calls from the highest points of the city. In verse 4, she says to those who lack judgment, come, eat my food, drink the wine I've mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Also with folly, it's personified as a woman. The woman folly is loud. She's undisciplined, without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Two women. Now, why would Solomon do this? Because he set up a picture for us of a young man who's making his way, a simple man, a man who has not yet chosen which direction he's going to go. He hasn't yet chosen one of those paths. He's standing there and he could go either way. And so each one of these women are saying, come to me, enter into a relationship with me. Because the idea in the Near East of sitting down for a meal was the idea of having relationship with. It wasn't just going through a drive-through, hey, bye. It was an opportunity to build relationship. And so each of these is saying, enter into an intimate relationship with me. Come home with me. Fall in love with me. And both are competing for the same audience because in both places it says, let all who are simple come in here. She says to those who lack judgment, it's the same thing. That all who are simple come in here. She says to those who lack judgment, it's the same person. And both are competing. Both are calling for this young man to choose. Enter into a relationship with me. Now, in Proverbs 9, it's the only place that Lady Folly speaks. Solomon doesn't want to give a whole lot of attention to Lady Folly and her call. He wants us to hear Wisdom's call. He wants us to hear the call to take this path. And so Lady Wisdom speaks again and again in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs. Chapter 1, she says this, wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. In the gateway of the city, she makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? Chapter 8, verse 1, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights along the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates leading into the city, at the entrances, she cries aloud, to you men I call out, I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple gain prudence. You who are foolish gain understanding. She goes where the people is and she's constantly calling. And as she calls there, she calls to us today, choose wisdom. Choose wisdom. Reject the path of folly. Reject Lady Folly. Choose wisdom. Why? Proverbs 8, 10, 11 says this, choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. What Lady Wisdom is doing, she's showing all the benefits for those who would choose wisdom. Over in verse 17 of chapter 8, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing wealth on those who love me and making their treasuries full. Notice, wisdom isn't just about knowledge. Wisdom isn't just about information. Wisdom isn't just about gaining facts. In Scripture, wisdom is ethical. Wisdom is moral. Listen, I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice. From the biblical perspective, wisdom will encompass all of life. It won't just be a degree that you earn. It isn't just facts you fill in your head. Wisdom affects how you do life. And Lady Wisdom has taken her stand on the side of righteousness, taken her stand on the side of justice, of doing what's right. And so she says, follow me. If you do, I will bless your socks off. Well, it doesn't really say that. That's the paraphrase version. But Solomon understood this, didn't he? Remember, at 20 years of age, when he took over for his dad, King David, he took over as king, God appeared to him at Gibeon and said, ask for me anything you want. Ask of me anything you want. What would you do if God appeared to you and said to you, whatever you want, just ask? How would you respond? I have no idea what went through Solomon's head. But at that point, Solomon has carte blanche to ask for anything. And he says, I need wisdom. I need wisdom to govern your people. And here's what God says. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, for wisdom. So God said to him, since you've asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands as David your father did, I'll give you a long life. So when Solomon says, speaking through Lady Wisdom, wealth and riches and honor are with me, it's true. Solomon found that out firsthand. Solomon didn't make a choice for what was out there. He made a choice for God's wisdom. And God said, good choice. And now I'm going to give you everything else. It's sort of like the old TV show with Monty Hall, Let's Make a Deal. Remember that? Some of you old enough remember that show with Monty Hall? And all those crazy people dressed up with all those crazy things? Do you want what's behind curtain number one, or do you want $20 cash? You want $100 cash, or you want what behind curtain one? You don't know what to choose. Sometimes they choose curtain number one, and behind it was like a bag of trash bags or something, something ridiculous. You know, you should have gone for what was in the hand. But in this case, wisdom's telling us, if you choose me, you get me, and let me show you everything behind the curtain you get too. You get riches and honor and blessing if you choose me. And Solomon could testify, yep, been there, done that. This is what you get. Now, not only does Lady Wisdom encourage us to choose the path of wisdom, so also, according to Solomon, did his dad. See, how did Solomon at 20 know that wisdom would be a good thing to ask for? Well, here's what Solomon tells us in chapter 4 of Proverbs. When I was a boy, verse 3, Proverbs 4, when I was a boy in my father's house, still tender and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands and you will live, get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forsake my words or swerve for them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Verse 8 of chapter 4. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. And then over in chapter 3, Solomon's dad continues to speak. he says in verse 13, "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed." Now, I'm not going to go into all the details of this until a later message, but one of the things that researchers are finding is that people that live according to biblical values as a whole are healthier than those who don't. This is not stuff I'm making up. I'll give you the research when we come back. That think about, if you follow wisdom, you're not going to have unforgiveness and bitterness, right? Because if you follow godly wisdom, you're going to practice forgiveness and grace. Do you know what bitterness can do to a body? You know what it can do to your emotional state when you're bitter? What about fretting and fear? If God is sovereign and we trust him, there's no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. You're not going to be walking in anxiety and fear and worry. Do you know what worry and fear and anxiety do to your body? You're going to be taking care. It talks about work. It talks about sleep. In part, all those good things, doctor, that would be healthy for our bodies, the scripture tells us to do. Wisdom. And if I'm taking care of my body, and I'm taking care of my mind, and I'm taking care of my soul, I'm going to be a healthier person overall. What about wealth? It warns me about going into great debt. It tells me about honoring God with my wealth. It tells me about how to take care of my finances in a way that's prudent. Well, you know what? If I'm doing it God's way, healthy, wealthy, and wise as a whole. Now, that doesn't mean every single time. There is the Job exception, and we'll talk about that. But as a whole, those who do it God's way find themselves in a healthier place. In other words, it really does make a difference, living according to wisdom. Chapter 8, Lady Wisdom speaks again. In verse 32, "My sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not ignore it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But whoever fails to find me harms himself. All who hate me love death." Two roads diverge in the woods. We are called, encouraged, to choose wisdom, life or death. Wisdom on the side of life, folly on the side of death. In fact, Lady Wisdom gives us this very serious warning in chapter 1 of Proverbs when she says this, "If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you." Verse 24 of chapter 1, "But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you." Verse 25 and following, "Then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm." Lady Wisdom says, you have a choice. If you choose to folly instead of me, I'll honor your choice. I don't want to have to do that. I don't want to see you make that choice. But if that's the choice you make, I will honor your choice. And you will reap the fruit of your unwise choices. Or you can choose me. You can choose wisdom. Solomon chose wisdom and prospered. Unfortunately, Solomon stopped choosing wisdom at a point in his life. And he started going after other gods, and he started letting his heart be pulled away. And we know what happened. He didn't live a long life. His reign was not extraordinarily long. He died at 60. Didn't live as long as his dad did and some of the other kings that followed. And so as we look at this, we recognize this, that two roads will diverge in the woods, and unlike Frost's poem, the road less traveled is the path of wisdom, because most people don't choose the path of wisdom. They choose the path of folly. Jesus said so. He said, broad is the road that leads to destruction, narrow is the one that leads to life. Few that be that find it. The road less traveled in Frost's poem was no really less traveled, it was the same. But the road less traveled in the scripture really is a road less traveled. And we're called to choose wisdom. But it's not that we choose wisdom simply for one choice and that's it. For every day, you will find forks in your road. Every day as you face situations, you will have the opportunity to exercise wisdom or folly. And as we do that, my prayer is you will hear Lady Wisdom whispering in your ear, choose wisdom, for it is the road less traveled, and it will make all the difference in the world. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the words of Proverbs, the words of Solomon, who in a beautiful word picture helps us understand and see the choice starkly before us, to enter into a relationship with Lady Wisdom or to enter into a relationship with Lady Folly. Lady Wisdom brings blessing. Lady Wisdom brings honor and hope and life. Lady Folly brings death, brings destruction, brings loss. Lord, I pray that we would choose on this series of being a wise life, that we would choose wisdom at those forks in the road, that your Holy Spirit in those moments would speak to us through Lady Wisdom's voice, saying, choose wisdom. Choose wisdom. And that you would raise up wise people here at Calvary. Wise people that will know how to walk in a way that is prudent, just, and right. So that we may be salt and light in a world that's making increasingly unwise choices. That we'd be able to say, there's another way. There's another path. This is a road less traveled, but it is a road that is worth taking. It will make all the difference in the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I encourage you to go today in the grace of our God and choose wisdom. Amen. Amen.